The Old Testament reading for our celebration of the baptism of our Lord comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, all nations.
Exalt him, all peoples.
For great is his steadfast love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Bring an offering and come to his
courts. The epistle reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 6th chapter. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. John was right, you know. I mean, he was right about a lot of things, of course. But in our reading today, John the Baptist was right. He knew what baptism was about. I mean, when your name is John the Baptist, you're kind of bound to know a little something about baptism. Baptism is the washing away of sins, the granting of eternal life. This was the core of John's ministry, the point of everything that he preached about. This is what he thought about day in and day out. So when Jesus, the Messiah, God himself in the flesh, comes to John to be baptized, John protests. He says, "Oh, hold up, Jesus. You're God. You're perfect. If anything, I should be baptized by you. You don't need what I'm giving out because you are already perfect and without sin." And John was right. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. Not for those reasons, at least. And yet, Jesus was adamant. He insisted that John baptize him. He says to John, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Which is kind of a strange argument, isn't it? We might have expected Jesus to say, "Hey, I'm God, you'll do what I say." But Jesus instead tells John that there is an actual purpose to this baptism, and it's something that is fitting for them to do. So what exactly does Jesus mean when he says that he should be baptized to fulfill all righteousness? Well, some people think that that refers to the fact that his baptism was something like a trigger for all of the other events that were to follow. Up until now, Jesus had been doing some teaching here and there, but he isn't really all that well known throughout the country, and he isn't doing a constant and full-time ministry. But after his baptism, well, all of that changes. As he comes out of the waters of the Jordan, we hear God the Father proclaim him as his beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased, and the Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove, marking him as the Anointed One. We know that immediately afterward, he was driven out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, to stand firm where mankind had fallen, and that he began his public ministry soon after. And so, for some people, to fulfill all righteousness is kind of a code word for get things started, get the ball rolling, get the show on the road. That Jesus' baptism was some kind of a public announcement that now the Messiah will begin his work of salvation. And while it did kind of serve as that, there's a lot more to it than that. To fulfill all righteousness isn't a code. It's what Jesus' baptism actually did. And so some people then think that Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, to make sure that all the rules were being followed properly. Do you remember what happened to the U.S. men's 4x100 relay team at the Olympics in 2016? Of course you do. Well, the U.S., they had some of the best runners in the world teamed up, maybe their best lineup in a long time. And they all ran fast, like crazy fast, and it was a really close race. And it had been years since the U.S. had medaled in this event, and they wanted that medal so badly. And in Rio, they finished third. And it seemed like the curse was broken, like they were finally going to get on that podium. The team was celebrating, they were wearing the flag, they had taken a victory lap. And all of a sudden, the standings on the scoreboard changed. And USA went from third to DQ. And we're not talking Dairy Queen, unfortunately. Because for as fast as they had run, for everything that they had done right in that race, they had made a tiny mistake early on. They had started passing the baton just a smidge early on one of the first exchanges, and that made everything else that they did count for nothing. It didn't seem like that big of a deal, but the rules hadn't been followed, and so after everything was done, after it looked like they had the victory, that little oversight undid everything. And so some people think that's what Jesus is talking about. That's what he meant when he said his baptism would fulfill all righteousness. That this was kind of a formality that he had to go through. Make sure all the paperwork is done. Dot every T, cross every I. That this was just sort of going through the motions so nobody later on could say, hey, wait a minute, you didn't do everything right. They were saying that Jesus didn't want to give his opponents any kind of ammunition. And so he did all of the things that he was saying others should do. Because, I mean, imagine how awkward it would have been if he was arguing about heeding God's word with the Pharisees and that he was the word of God. And then they point out, wait a minute, you haven't even been baptized. And so some people think that Jesus' baptism didn't really mean anything, but it kept people from discounting all of his other works because of a technicality. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't say that his baptism is fitting to fulfill the law or to fulfill the proper requirements. He doesn't say that it is fitting to get the real work started. Jesus says that his baptism is to fulfill all righteousness. Not man's righteousness. Not his righteousness. Not some righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. The baptism of Jesus, it was real. It meant something. It wasn't about ceremony. It wasn't about technicalities. It was about making baptism real. Giving baptism its power. Making it more than just an outward cleansing or a public commitment to following Jesus. Jesus, his baptism fulfilled all righteousness, not just for himself, but for everyone. Here, in the waters of the Jordan River, Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, God himself in the flesh, enters into those same baptismal waters that each of us have been brought to. The same waters, the same cleansing. Here, he who is completely without sin, the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he joins us filthy sinners in those same waters. Here, Jesus makes baptism what it truly is, the washing of regeneration, the forgiveness of sins, the drowning of our sinful nature, and the rising to new life in Jesus Christ. In baptism, in his baptism, Jesus fulfills all righteousness. He fulfills our righteousness. As Jesus enters those waters, he blesses them and makes those waters holy for sinners like us. Now, normally when something clean enters into something dirty, it's the opposite. When you're doing laundry and you put a dirty sock in with the clean laundry, the sock doesn't become clean. The rest of it around it gets tainted and becomes dirty and you have to wash it again. But Jesus' righteousness, his holiness, his perfection is so powerful that when he enters those baptismal waters with us sinners, those waters filled with sin and murk and just terrible things, he cleanses those waters and makes those waters cleansing to us. He makes us righteous. We who are nothing but sin, we are instead covered in his robe of righteousness and perfection and holiness. We are made holy by his perfect holiness. And then he who was without sin, he takes upon himself all the sin of the world. Every sin that our baptism washes off of us, and that is every sin, it is then washed onto Jesus. You could say that his baptism was something of a reverse baptism. We sinners enter those waters filthy and we are cleansed and made holy. But the holy Son of God enters the waters clean and he comes out bearing our sins. And he did this for us. And he did it not just to lighten our load a little bit, to make our lives a little bit easier, but to carry all of those sins to the cross. Because you see, the wages of sin is death. And for sinners like us, that means death eternal. Eternal separation from God, eternal death and condemnation and pain and suffering because we are sinners. And nothing we could do on our own could pay the debt that we've incurred because of our transgressions, because all of our efforts just make the debt deeper as we dig and dig and dig. We disobey and we disregard God's word and say, we know better and we have no use for that. We put blind faith in so many worldly things, and yet we question everything that the Creator of the universe tells us and say, well, that can't possibly be. We act ashamed to be associated with Jesus. We abuse his precious name. We revel in the wicked ways of the world, and we act like Jesus is some terrible burden that we've been saddled with. In all these ways, and so many more, we are by nature sinful and unclean, and we deserve nothing but eternal death and condemnation. But Jesus, the Messiah, he came to us. He stepped into those sin-soaked waters of baptism, and he took all that filth, all that sin, all that unrighteousness upon himself to bear the full weight and the full penalty of what we had done wrong. Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, suffered and died in your place. He experienced the torture and the agony that you deserved for all eternity. He laid down his perfect and eternal life in a humiliating death to atone for all your guilt, all your wrongdoing, all your sin. This is what Jesus gave you in his baptism, in his death upon the cross. And even after doing all of that for sinners like us, he gave us more. For on that glorious Easter morning, Jesus Christ rose from the grave to eternal life. And in doing so, he promised that all who believed in him would do the same. Baptism unites us with Jesus Christ, both in his death and in his resurrection. Our sin was taken from us, washed away, and placed upon Jesus, and his righteousness was placed upon us. And by his death and resurrection that we are united with in the waters of baptism, all of our sin is taken away. In the eyes of God, you are no longer a sinner, because your debt, your penalty, it has been paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. Washed clean of your sin in the waters of baptism, you are now holy, innocent, and righteous because you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, washed by his waters of baptism. And now, when our Heavenly Father looks upon us, he no longer proclaims us guilty of all the wretched sin that we still continue to commit, but instead, seeing that we have been washed of that sin, seeing that we have been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, he speaks to each of us those same blessed words that he spoke of Jesus Christ himself. This is my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased. So yeah, in a way, John was right. Jesus didn't need to be baptized, not in the way that we do. We need baptism to remove our sins, to work faith in our stony, rebellious hearts, to take away our guilt, and to give us eternal life. Jesus already had all these things, so he didn't need baptism to get them, but we do. And the only reason that we receive them is that Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, God himself in our flesh, entered into those baptismal waters with us. He didn't need to be forgiven. We did. He didn't need to be washed. We did. And so Jesus went to the Jordan and told John to baptize him to fulfill all righteousness. Not the letter of the law, not all the proper ceremonies, but all righteousness to fulfill our righteousness. Jesus' baptism, it might seem unnecessary, but it was necessary for us. He entered those waters to bless our baptism, to be joined with us, to take upon his holy self every one of our sins. His perfection, His righteousness. It fulfilled all righteousness and made baptism not just a ceremony, but the eternal washing of regeneration. Through our baptism, then, we are united with Christ in a death like His and certainly in a resurrection like His. We are cleansed of our guilt because He paid the price for us upon the cross and He rose again from the grave because He is God's beloved Son with whom God is well pleased. And because of what He has done for us, we too are now God's beloved children with whom He is also well pleased. For by the waters of baptism that Jesus Christ made holy, by His cross, by His empty tomb, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.